Appreciate the Lord today, and like to ask an interest in your prayers this morning. Lord would help us. Let's look in the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter. Matthew 21. My thought that I would like to share with you this morning is being a first responder. You may have heard me bring this out before, but as I was up this morning, the Lord brought this back to my mind, and I'm always challenged with God, His Word, and His ways. I know that His ways are right, and what He does is forever, and nothing changes. I know the Lord is interested in us being moved by the Spirit of God. I read in the Bible, it said, holy men and women, they were moved by the Spirit of God. I really believe God is interested still in us being moved by His Spirit. He said, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And I believe this morning that God is interested in us having, as we go to these camp meetings, as we go through this summer, let's take something with us. Let's not just hear, but let's do. Amen. Not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. That means a lot. Here in the book of Matthew 21, he said, the 28th verse of this 21st chapter, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I will go. I go, sir. And went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. You know, I find that a little bit of stubbornness or having my own will, that equals rebellion. And this first one said, I go, sir. I'm gone. I'll do whatever. But he didn't go. And he afterward repented, and then he did do that. I think this morning being a first responder, first of all, I think there's a song we have in our songbook said, my heart said amen to thy will, Lord. And I know that thou lovest me still. I think there has to be that condition in the heart where whatever the Lord says, we're just willing to do it. We're just willing, Lord, whatever you have for me, I just want to do that. I think it's important for us. You know, I've watched first responders and how they operate on a when they're called out to a scene of a crime or a fire or whatever they're called out to, an accident of some sort involving vehicles and people and destruction. You know, one thing a first responder does is they bring order out of chaos. You know, that's the first thing they do is try to bring some semblance of order when there's chaotic conditions. And I believe the people of God this morning are called to do that very thing. I believe God's people should be the ones that's first there. They can assess the damage. They can see what is going on. And not just stand around there with their hands on their hips, but they go to work and they do what they need to do. They bring order out of chaos. How many of us know this morning there's some chaotic situations we deal with all the time? There's things that's just way out of order. There's just nothing happening that's right. And everybody's emotions are stirred up and things are just out of hand and out of order. Do you know what? The people of God should become alive when that is, when we're involved in things that is going that way. And I want to be that way. I want to tell you this morning, that's what I want to be. I want to be a first responder, one that actually comes in and helps. I've watched people. I've mentioned this before. This really touched me as a young man, but I watched this girl slicing tomatoes at Burger King one time, and she run her hand right in that tomato slicer, and it cut it bad, and it was deep, and she passed out on the floor. This other girl watching that, she just kept eating her sandwich. It's like, well, she'd look off a while and look down there, and she's still on the floor. And there's some folks kind of like that. There's some folks that kind of, and they'll say, hey, you all need to get over here and do something about this. And you keep eating your sandwich. And there's nothing, hardly anything really that we do to engage in making the circumstance better. Being a first responder is part of the people of God's calling. It's part of our heritage. It's part of something we don't want to let go. We don't want to ever let this get away from us, because if we do, we're going to find ourselves, we're just here kind of, we're directing traffic and we should be over there ministering to people's needs. The Lord bless us today. We need to make decisions quickly. This person we read about is, oh yeah, I'll go. But there was no, at first there was no real, it was just like one of those spontaneous, oh yeah, I'll go. Maybe, you know, children, have you done that before with your parents? Oh, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And you know good and well, when you say that, mommy gets or daddy gets, they'll get off of their request list, or you'll kind of be able to slide back in the shadows then, and they'll think it's all taken care of, and you got them off your back, and now you're just going about your way, and you still didn't do it. Children are very sly sometimes, and sometimes you grow up and adults are the same way. If we don't learn how to respond quickly, if we don't learn how to make decisions quickly, you know, there's sometimes things are so critical we need to make decisions very quickly to get things done and assess the damage and make decisions and do this and that. And you know, I've watched them set up different for the injured that are needing immediate care, and those that are injured but can wait just a little while, and those that are already gone, they kind of categorize and set up a triage. They put people with the greatest needs at the very front of the line, and those that don't have such great needs, they're put a little further back. And that's good. You know, the Lord help us today to recognize when there is some real needs and when we should move and when we should keep silent. I've seen sometimes people say, oh, we need to do something. We need to do, oh, we need to do something. And we're just fanning ourselves, or we're just making motions. Oh, we need to do. And we never got anything done because we sure need to do. No, what we need is to make a decision and act promptly and be careful. Ask God to help us all. I believe He can give us wisdom to know what to do and when to do it. He can help us to be that minute man. He can help us to be that minute woman that can do things on the spot, that can be able to see things that are going wrong and detect it and steer it in the right direction. I'm praying the Lord will bless His church, His people, to be first responders, responsible people, people that are equipped, people that are able to handle the situation, people that don't just have a head knowledge, but they know what to do. I was thinking about this week, my son came on and I've told this to several of you, but my son came upon he was driving by his old barn, seeing a car parked outside, and I thought, wonder what those people are, wonder what they're doing. And he saw this guy inside the barn, and he drove up, and this guy had an extension cord up in the top of the rafters and had it brought down just enough so he'd pull his feet off the ground. He was just fixing to put it on his head and hang himself. He said, if I'd been 5 minutes, he'd have been dangling. You know how important it is to be a first responder? This really stirred something in my heart for us to be on time. There is something about being on time. There's something about having that responsiveness to the Lord when He pricks our hearts or He says something that we move upon it.
Yes.
We move upon it. I was thinking, there was some older brethren, they was telling me this story, I believe it's about Brother Barton. He had this strange impulse to go pray for somebody and went clear to Bartlesville from Tulsa, 60 or so miles, and had no idea where he was going. And he went and the Lord directed him to this house with a light on, and inside that house was a man needing prayer. And the Lord, it's so far out. I mean, I've never done nothing like, I've never had that. But there's brethren that have. Folks, I'm not really praying that we'll have more people like that, which would be good. But we could just do the small things that we see that are easily detectable, that are right around us, and things that that we can actually. It's not that I'm praying for you to be supernatural or me or to see something like that. But I'm going to tell you, it has been done.
Yes.
We just need more practical things. We need things to start off with. I believe he got to that level, not just in a one-time deal. There was things that led up to that, and him being able to be so sensitive to the Lord speaking to him, it led up to that. And without that, the basics of being a first responder, you will never develop and get up to that stage there. So let's stay down here, down low, where we can work with things that are close to us, where we can be sensitive to the Spirit of God speaking to us in our everyday lives. Let's make a phone call. Let's do a little something that the Lord inspires us with. I love this saying here, and I wrote it down: preach the gospel and use words if necessary. Oh, may the Lord help us today. Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. I think it's so important. Being in touch with the Lord and the timing and everything has to be right in our life. There has to be the inspiration from on high. I believe in Job, he said, the inspiration of the Almighty, it gives understanding. That inspiration is what each of us need.
Yes.
To know how to care for the needs of this world. Being on time. Being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Listening to His voice. It's all necessary. He said, preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. The gospel is preached more ways than just behind this pulpit. By us clapping, popping, and shouting and carrying on. It's more than that. We've got to be in touch with our Maker. We've got to be able to understand what He's saying and to be able to help this world that we live in. My heart is stirred when I think about minimizing casualties, minimizing the casualties. And sometimes we look at, oh Lord, here's a difficult situation to work with. Here's something that really needs attention. And if I do this, this is going to be this fallout. This is going to be something that affects all these people. Help me, Lord, to know how to minimize the casualties. Help me to know if I have to take the wrong, if I have to be misunderstood so that casualties are minimized. Lord, help me to be that way.
Yes.
Help me. There's times it's difficult for us and we have to say, well, what's worth, is your reputation on the line? What do you want more? Your reputation or the minimal amount of casualties, that the fallout, the people that's affected. Lord, help us today. Give us eyes and ears to see and to hear. Eyes and ears to see and to hear. Lord, help us today. I pray that the body of Christ might be energized and might be able to see what we can do to help this lost generation that we're in. There's sometimes I feel like there's such a gap. Such a large gap. I'm riding with a deputy, and I've done it several times with him, and I've got to know him very well. And I said, "Say, you ever have a black walnut shake?" He said, "What?" I said, "I'm asking you a question. You ever have a black walnut shake or black walnut ice cream? What is that?" I said, "Just what I thought. Younger generation doesn't even know what. Enjoy black walnut ice cream." Oh, you got to be maybe over 50 to do. I don't know. But I'm just saying there is such a gap. There is such a gap. And that's just a starting place, let me tell you. There is such a gap that I'm afraid, Lord, if we lose this touch with you, we're going to lose this ability to reach the generation we live in. If we haven't experienced things in our own personal life and we don't have a personal experience with Christ, we're going to be ineffective in this generation that we live in. I looked at the word diligently this morning, and diligently means more earnestly than others. That is, very promptly and very diligently. This person that we were speaking of, that Jesus talked about, he was very quick to say, "I do." Maybe he just hadn't counted the cost and say, "You know, I'm going to have to take off work. That's going to cost me something. That's going to be some hide off of my back." And he got to thinking about it and said, "I don't believe I'm going to do that." And then his conscience, he began to think, and he got home and he thought, "You know, if I don't do this, I might be the means of someone losing their soul." And he came back and he said, "I'll go." And he went. He went. I don't know where we're at this morning, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of decisions, sometimes without thought, that we make. And we're all gung-ho, but then we see what it costs us and, that's going to be hard to do. Lord, help us. Being a first responder, we've got to understand there's risk involved, right? Being a first responder, we have to realize that there are costs that are involved. But I tell you, those costs, when you compare it with the blessings of the Lord, are well worth it. They're well worth it. Remember, we've got to be prompt. We've got to assess the situation. We've got to look and see quickly what needs to be done. I was working on a job with a mechanic one time, and our boss sent us to work on his houseboat at Table Rock Lake. And I thought, what kind of a job is this to get to go work on a boat? But you know, folks, I got to where I despise that job. I get in the hull of that boat and that thing would go like this, and then it'd go back, and I'd get dizzy. Oh, I couldn't stand it. But Russ and I went one Friday. We went to that boat. We just got there. Russ slipped. His elbow went through a glass. He slipped and caught himself, and it cut that vein right here, the main vein on his arm. And I tell you, that was some time. You don't have much time to think, do you? It's like, you better do something quick, because he's not going to last long. And I'd been to a little class where you learn CPR and things, and I knew I had to. I kept pressure on that vein. I said, "Now, Russ, I can get you the truck, but when we get in the truck, you're going to have to hold that yourself, anyways." You know, folks, he lived. Everything worked out, but sometimes knowing what to do before the situation comes up is much better than just guessing when it's there.
Yes.
Lord, help us to be a prepared people.
Amen.
A prepared people. Be ready. If we think, well, I sure hope I'm not like that man. I sure hope I never come upon them situations. Listen, we live in a violent world. We live in a world that all kinds of things are happening all the time. Over and over and over in your communities, everything. We hardly see what's going on. We hardly see. But I want to say, the Lord wants us to be prepared people. It wouldn't hurt for us to have a little preparation sometime to know how to handle things if they ever come our way. All right, a first responder. Romans 12 and 9. Lord, help me to be able to read some of this today. There is so much to read. 12 and 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Oh my, hospitality. I hope that never gets away from us. I hope love doesn't get away from us. I hope that some of these things are a inherent part of our life, that we don't let them be just bywords and things that happened years ago. You can mope around and I can. I wonder why they never invite me over their house. I wonder why I don't have this in it. And what we need to do is we need to invite people to our homes. Hospitality is a big thing. Be a first responder. Be the first one that does that. Don't wait and say, well, I'm just waiting for him to call me. No, you call. You be the first. That's what a first responder is. If you don't like first responder, this is what a first responder does. They're the first ones. They come in, they assess things, they give a positive response, and they do things. I'm not just talking about your own family and things. This is talking about strangers. This talk, even, you know, among us sometimes, it's like, well, what do I do? You be the first one that does it. Don't expect others to do all that. You be the first one that does that. And he said, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. First responder's job is to be right there doing that. Well, they're the ones that really aggravated this thing, got it all messed up. Yeah, but you're the first responder. Isn't that what you said? Isn't that what your heart was saying, amen, in the service? You said, yes, Lord, that sounds like something good. I want to be a first responder. All right, here we go. Here we go. We're going to take off now. How quick are we to respond? Now, how would you like the Lord to be exactly like you are? I'll get to them. Well, I'll be just about as fast as they were when I wanted them to do something. And him just said, no, we're going, Lord, help me, help me. How would you like for him to say, oh, yeah, I'll get around to it. You know, about as fast as you responded to what I was wanting you to do. Oh, I hope we're faster than that. I hope that we respond And our heart says amen.
Amen.
But what if the Lord, He could be just and say, okay, I'm going to do it just as fast as you responded over here. We're in trouble. He asks us to do things sometimes and we just hum-haw around and our pride gets in the way. Well, I know I should be doing, but it didn't do it. Lord, help us today. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. A person that's wise in their own conceits finds excuses for everything. Oh, I'd get closer to the Lord. I would do that over there, but you know what? I just ain't got time, or I just don't want to do that. They really owe me the apology. And on and on and on, our excuses and all. He said, hold on. Don't be wise in your own conceits. That's the problem with our world today, is people know so much and they just won't humble themselves down. Situations that could have been worked out very simply was drug out and blown up way out of hand because we had this high conception of our mind and who we are. Well, that's me. They shouldn't be talking to me that way. They shouldn't be doing that to me because I'm so and so. I'm of the stock of Abraham. Oh, Lord, help us. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore thine enemy hunger, starve him. No, it said feed him. You be the first responder. You feed him. Is your enemies going hungry? The Lord's saying, I'm charging you, James, I'm charging you with feeding your enemies. You've been feeding them, Bell? You know you've been feeding them? Well, Lord, they snap at you and they bite you sometimes. It hurts. Feed them. Your enemies hunger, feed them. Your responsibility. You're the first responder. You're the one on the job now. You're accountable. I'm accountable. You can tell the graces of the people of God when you see them feeding their enemies. You can see how far developed and how much grace we have when we're feeding enemies. Help us, Lord. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how you do it. First responders overcome evil with good. Romans 12 and 9 here said, let love be without dissimulation. That's sincere. And it's unfeigned. It's not a put on. It's not something that's a veneer, that's real thin. This is something real. First responders have to have the real thing to be able to do the steps that Paul mentioned here in this 12th chapter of Romans. There can be no fake in this. It has to be done in sincerity. It has to be done from a heart full of love and concern for the others. I had a man in jail not too long ago say, why do you all keep coming in here? And Brother Carl Doty that was with me said, it's because we love you. He didn't even hesitate. It's because we love you. Sure. That's why we keep coming in here. That's why we keep doing it, and over, year after year after year. That's why we do it. It's because we love you. We're concerned about you. We want to see you prosper. I tell them sometimes, I'd like to vote for some of you for president. I'd like to see you run for president. And they just laugh. And I said, well, all things are possible. Let's start off, though, by getting a job and being dependable at home. But unfeigned. 2 Timothy 1:16. Let's read here. 2 Timothy 1 and 16. Oh, when we talk about Onesiphorus, what goes through your mind? I'll tell you what goes through my mind when I think of Onesiphorus. Listen here. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered to me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. The house of Onesiphorus. Do you know what it's like? What it would be like? I can only imagine what it would be like in Rome to look out and find a prisoner, one man, in all the millions. They said there was, it's unbelievable the amount of people that were incarcerated in the jails at Rome. And Onesiphorus went from cell to cell, and he went from guard to guard and asking, "Do you know a guy named Paul?" Who knows what he was treated like? It doesn't say. But Onesiphorus, I believe, was a man, a first responder. If Paul was counting on somebody to bring him some food, he was counting on the first responders, wasn't he? And he might have thought, "Lord, help Onesiphorus today. Help him to find me." And oh, I would have loved, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to see when Onesiphorus looked in those through those bars and he saw Paul and he said, "Paul, brother, how are you doing?" Paul could, you know, the lighting in those places was so poor. The stench was so, the sanitation was very bad. Horrible conditions. No running water. It was a horrible place. Maybe a little candle burning ever so often. But it was a terrible condition. And here those two met. "Paul, I've brought you something. I've got some food here. Here's some bread and some raisins. And I've got some jerky or whatever he had. I want to bless you. I've got some fruit here, Paul." Oh, I tell you, Paul was looking further than that food. I believe he was so grateful to see that man. You know, I've been in, go into those jail cells, and there was a man sitting on the stairs one time, and he was crying. He said, "I've been praying for the Lord to send somebody in here to speak to me, and you all came." Amen. Lord, help us. First responders are critical to the life of the church of God. Amen. Without them, without the first responders, we fall back into a place of lethargy. We fall back into a place just of name only. Name only. And that's something that gets me. Church of God? Church of God? What do you think of Church of God? What do you think? There's something automatically comes to your mind. I think of Onesiphorus. I think this is what we should be. Lord, help us to be that. He's calling us to be those first responders. You be the first one that shows up to help. I have 1 Samuel 25 and 18. I won't be able to go over all of this, but I trust that you have read this before of the beautiful woman, and her name was Abigail. 25 and 18, 1 Samuel, this is so beautiful. I'm going to just cut right down to the middle of what this was going on. Nabal was a churlish man. He was, how in the world she ever ended up with that fella, I'll never know. But anyway, he was just thinking about himself. That was all Nabal thought about. And David and his 400 men had kept his sheep shearers from getting any harm done to them. They just looked over them. Maybe they wasn't asked to, but they just out of kindness done things for him. And all they wanted was just a little provisions, just a little something to eat. And Nabal, he came up and said, "You know, there's a lot of servants that break away from their masters these days, and I really could care less that this man is wanting some food. Shall I give him food from my table, and shall I do all these, my food and my groceries, my time to this runaway slave?" And it made David so angry that he gathered up those same 400 men, and they were headed to Nabal's household to take the life of every one of that household. Every person. You can read this. I'm not going to, but you read it. But I'm going to tell you, Abigail was a first responder. This woman was able to pick up on the situation going on. She was able to grasp a hold of what was happening. She was one that showed up to help. There's a little saying that says some people are called and there's some folks just show up. Folks, we need to see the calling of God very respectfully, and we need to be able to discern what we're being called to and respond properly. Abigail responded properly, didn't she? She didn't just say, "Hey, I'm going out there and I'm gonna show him how good looking I am, and I'm just gonna put my hand on my hip and I'm gonna tell David, now you just get out of here. What do you think you're doing?" She perceived the situation and she looked deeper into it than just thinking about how I'm going to get in, what I'm going to do to ward this man off and 400 men. No, she began to take loaves of bread and figs, and she began to take all good kinds of things to eat. One woman against 400 men. What did she do? She met him and she says, she made haste, took 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, laid them on the asses. That was what she done. She took it upon herself. This is what I'm going to do. One woman, 400 angry men. The blood was running in their veins hot. They was ready to take the lives of everyone. This one woman, for the power of a woman. Boy, it was something. But here's what she done. In the 23rd verse, when Abigail saw David, she hasted, lighted off the ass, fell before David on her face and bowed herself on the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaid." Have you ever heard people say, "You know, I'm wrong in this matter. I just really see myself. The Lord showed me myself." We don't hear that very often. Not very often do we hear that. Those are words we will make some kind of excuse and say, "Well, I saw my part in it." But really, you were the one that got all this started. It was you. No, we find a total different person that he dealt with. Abigail is down there and she fell at his feet. And David could probably smell the fresh baked bread and all the food he was looking at and said, "What is this woman doing? What in the world is she up to?" She said, "David, all of this problem you're having, it's all because of me. Just let all this iniquity rest on me. Let everything that's happened here, David, let it fall on me. Let everything come. It's all my fault. I'm the one that started this whole matter." Can you see the shocked look on his face? What? Here's someone actually saying they're wrong? I'm going to tell you, folks, in 40-some years that I've been ministering, I have one person that sticks in my mind that came to me and he said, "Our little school got broke into, and there's a few of you know what I'm talking about, and there was like $150 taken and paint and stuff thrown all over. And anyway, we kind of knew who'd done it because they left their billfold and had a clue anyway." Had a little clue. One of these young men, years later, he came to me. He said, "I need to talk to you." He said, "I'm the one that done this." He reached in his pocket and he pulled out $150. And he gave every bit of it back. These two boys split it up, you see. They split it up. He said, "I'm going to pay back his part. Here's $150. In 40-some years, I've never seen anybody equal what this young man did. I'm telling you, this is the truth. Some of you might be related to him. But I'm telling you, this young man stands out in my mind, and I didn't know what to say. I said, "You know, your honesty strikes me. It's so wonderful." He said, "You can call the police if you want to." And police, nothing. I said, "We're not calling no police. This is one of the most commendable things that I've ever seen a person. I've never hardly had someone admit they were wrong like that. They just admit it. Here's your $150. Just take it." My. Wasn't even claiming to be saved. A few years later down the road, he said, "James, I just wanted to call you and tell you I gave my heart to the Lord. I wanted to call you first and I wanted to tell you I give my heart to the Lord." That really touched me too. I'm going to tell you, here's a person that's coming up. They're coming up to the top. That cream is always going to rise to the top. And here he was. That's the kind of person he is. And I thought, "Lord, help us as a church of God. Help us to rise to the top now. We're in very difficult situations. Our country's in need of people that'll rise to the top. That'll get up to the top. They'll admit when I'm wrong." Abigail was one of those women. She took on those 400 men, and I'm telling you, before it was over, she had them all eating and laughing, and she ended up, as the rest of the story, marrying the king. Beautiful situation. I don't know. All I can say to us this morning is, God, give us more first responders. God, give us people that have their heart into things, that really have a sense. They know when there's things that are wrong. They know when things are not going right, to step up and be the first ones to say, "This is the I'm the problem." What do you think it does? Are they looked down now and thought, how weak they are. Look how weak they are. They've admitted to being wrong. No, that's the cream. That's the people that rise to the top. That's the first responders. That's the people that God blesses. That's the people God uses. And He wants to bless us today. More Abigails. Lord, give us more Abigails. Yes. Give us more people that show up to help. That show up and they're there. John 4:27. Reads that. Would someone read that for us this morning? John 4:27.
"And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' Or, 'Why talkest thou with her?'"
So you know the story. They've been gone for a while and come back, and Jesus is talking to a strange woman. What goes through your mind? Suspicion? What's he doing talking with her? But you know, I look at it like this. He was showing love to the unlovable. That's not easy, is it? It's not always easy showing love to the unlovable people, but being a first responder, it's part of our duty. And the Lord, help us to do that. Yes. Again, I pray the cream will rise to the top. I pray that God would help us to not be weary in well-doing. He said, "For in due season you shall reap if you faint not." Showing love to the unlovable, it's not something... it's very easy to do. It was like my uncle that had his fingers, and I know I've told this story. I know I'm getting old and I repeat myself, and I know these stories might get old to you, but I just knew my uncle. I knew how much it meant, and he got his fingers caught in this. He was on his right hand and he lost these two fingers. And he'd had surgery, and they did the skin graft. And years ago in the 60s, they would sew your hand, and they sewed his hand to his stomach, and then they had to cut that off. It's very painful. He had an old coon dog, and that dog, he went out there to feed him, and that dog just reached up and grabbed his hand. The hand had just had all that surgery on him. My uncle said, I knew if I jerked it back, I was going to jerk all that. At least I reached over with my left hand. I began to pet that old dog on the head. And he let go of my hand. I think about the unlovable people around. There's lots of them. God help us to be the part of the first responder team to show love to the unlovable folks. Uncle Bill, his story that he told me impressed me. I've never forgot it. I know that hurt dug into his big old dog, dug right into that tender part. But he said, I reached over with my left hand, began to pet him on the head. God help us today. We surely need the Lord to have mercy upon us. James 1:19, it says this, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Being a first responder, we have to learn some lessons. We can't go out there and expect to be successful without having some skills. We need some skills. There has to be some training. You might be, oh, I'm just against. You know, the Bible said, no, you don't have no need that man teach you. The Holy Spirit, that's all it's going to teach me is the Holy Spirit. That's the only one I'm going to listen to. Well, there's some things you can learn from people that have experience. And the Holy Spirit can come in and fill the blanks. But I tell you, there's one thing we need. He said, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. First responders, I believe, have to have that ingredient in their life. We have to be swift to hear. You've got two ears, one mouth. The Lord's telling us we need to listen more and speak less. Remember, I start off, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Your life shows who you are. Your life and what you do. You show up to what? You don't come in there and just start talking. Sometimes you get your hands dirty. You roll up your sleeves, you get to work. That's a first responder. Does that interest you this morning? Is that of any value? Do you see any value in this at all today? If you're married very long, you'll find out that there's times that you have to be the first one to ask forgiveness. That's not easy either. But did I start off saying this was easy? What's that old saying? If it was easy, why everybody be doing it? I'm not going to mention the Girl Scouts, but that's what they used to say. This is not easy. It's not always something easy to do. But being a first responder, this is what I believe God wants us to do. You be the first one to ask forgiveness. And sweetheart, I'm sorry. I should have been more careful. I spoke too quick. I shouldn't have done this. You be that first responder. You'll find yourself being blessed by God when you're that way. If you're always waiting for the other party to make all the apologies first, you're not qualified. You're not going to be a first responder. I know it's quiet, but did you know I get used to quietness sometimes? I don't believe I've ever very seldom seen people just get up and shout and say, boy, that was so good. That's exactly what I needed. But let's be swift to hear, slow to speak. Be the first to show up to help like Abigail was. Be first ones to show the love of Christ to the unlovable, the unteachable, hard to work with people, difficult people. They know everything. They have all the answers. First responders are very careful about their life and they perceive a situation. They know what to say and what not to say. There's times that your silence means more than your words would be. There's sometimes your presence, the ministry of presence is so necessary. There's times you've been in places where It's just difficult to be there. A woman asked me, can I just go in and see my baby one time? I just want to see him one more time. 23-year-old young man took his life and everything's barricaded. I want to see him one time. I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you the answer is no, but I'm going to ask the captain anyway. And I said, captain, what? The mom's wanting to see. He looked at me and he said, you know we're not going to do that. And I said, I know, sir. I just wanted to ask. Oh, there's sometimes words get in the way. I don't know how to tell. Words get in the way. I've watched people, and they just want to. I just want to pray with them. I just want to pray with them. Why do you want to pray with them? I'm going to tell you something a little strange in your ears, but there's sometimes you don't say a prayer. They're not even ready for a prayer. People are so angry and everything, and I've watched people, I just got to pray. It's just best if you be quiet. You're wanting to pray because you want to go back and say, I prayed with them. The best thing would be just be quiet. I know that's not something maybe you're used to. I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings, but being sensitive, folks, first responders have a difficult job. There's things that goes on sometimes and you just have to be careful how you maneuver, how you act and react and everything. You got to be careful. We're talking about dealing with souls today. We're talking about things that the Lord has to give us wisdom from on high. The wisdom that is from above. What did He say there in James? It's first, it's pure, it's peaceable. It's gentle. And it seemed like it said it's easy to be entreated. And then He said it's full of mercy and good fruits and without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in them that make peace. Not maybe verbatim, but that, anyway, be careful. Be careful. First responders have a difficult, challenging job. And I pray the Lord would help us. I'm not signing you on to the fire department. I'm not signing you on to the Logan County ambulance service. I'm not signing you on to anything this morning. I don't have no forms to fill out. Oh, you're going to be a first responder. What we have is the gospel, and we're trying to take that and convey that to a lost world needing help and hope and comfort. And God is just wanting us all. Will you behave properly?
That's right.
Will you take the humble way? Will you stoop down to help? Will you truly be a servant? We sing this song, I love to serve my Jesus. There's sometimes serving Him is in an unthankful position. And it's a humble, low-down way. And sometimes our pride keeps us up here. And we're up so high, we don't even know what serving the Lord is in situations. Serving sometimes, it's down low. It's washing feet. It's doing things that nobody notices. You're not being rewarded for it. So I would do that. If I would get a recognition, if I would get something back out of this, I would gladly do it. If I could just get my name in the paper. It's like this one preacher one time, we're having a baptizing in jail, and he loves to write front and center. You know, here's the big cameras flashed, going to be on the news. Then he tells me, he said, you baptized that one. I didn't have no idea what he's talking about. What do you mean? So I just went over there and here came this man in handcuffs and I baptized him. I said, have you repented and everything? Yes. All I could take was his word. Had no idea that he killed his baby. And he didn't want to be front and center with him. No, give me one of these others that doesn't look so bad. But not this guy. No, you go take care of him. You get his, you know, they take a picture of you, but not me. I'm telling you, there's times being first responders, you're going to have to get your hands dirty. If you're looking to be squeaky clean, the Lord's kind. I know He wants a clean church, but I'm telling you, Onesiphorus went through some things to get to feed Paul. We've got to wade through some difficult places to help people also. Be the first to change the course of a wrong conversation. Have you ever been challenged with that? You be the first to steer a wrong conversation in another way. Oh, this is a real challenge. Things aren't going too well. You step in and your presence. Remember, there's a ministry of presence. There's a ministry of presence. You being there, who you represent, what you're there for. There's a ministry of just your presence. You step in. You're the man. You're the woman. You're the one responsible. And you're going to be accurate. You're going to be a good responder. You're going to go there. And if there's something, you know, there's times lots of foul language. I've heard so much. I've gone home and said, Lord, please help me. I never want to say those words. I never want those things to come back. Help me to get those off of my mind, out of my mind. There's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of things out in the world, but God help us. He'll never put us in a place but what His grace can keep us. Change the course of wrong conversations. Be the first to initiate reconciliation. You be the first person to reconciliate, to initiate the first steps of reconciliation, bringing people together, bringing people back to God, bringing families together. You be the first. You might say, I don't want that job. I don't want to do all that. I just want to praise the Lord and come to church and just praise the Lord. But we got a job to do. But how are we going to give an account when it comes in the end? And you was always so stubborn and you wouldn't give in and you had to have your way. What? How are we going to give account of all that? You be the first. If you are, you know, the Lord's going to help us. I think about that scripture this week, even my son. He said, Dad, 5 minutes and he'd have been dangling. That guy, 5 minutes and be gone. I thought of that scripture, snatching them out of the fire. Yeah. Snatching them. Snatching. How do you do that? You got to be sensitive. You got to be on time. You got to get some leadings from the Lord. He said, leave all that to the preachers. Preachers are going to take all care of all that. Is that how you feel? Really, is that how you feel? You feel like it's all on the ministry. And you're going to get out free, scot-free. You're going to not have any responsibilities. Is that how you feel? You'll be disappointed because God is calling for every one of us. What about the little maid that said, oh, I would to God the king knew about Naaman. Knew about the prophet in Israel. Naaman knew about the prophet in Israel. He'd heal him of this leprosy. It'd all be gone. It was not a very... didn't take much education. It didn't take much know-how. She just knew the prophet of God. It was over there. People would come to him and they'd be healed. That old leprosy, it nothing for him. We don't have to have much, folks. We have to have a heart first to do the will of God. And that puts us in our responsible place. Be the first to forgive. I'm going to read one more verse. Ephesians 4:26. It says this. He spoke about be ye angry and sin not. He didn't say you can't be angry. But he said be ye angry and sin not. You can let things, there's things going to anger us. I got to church one time and I was taking prayer requests. I looked on the front row and there was my boy with no shoes on. His feet was just a dangling. My first thought was, where are your shoes? Well, There's a lot of other things going to come our way. Be angry and sin not. And he said this, you let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, don't let this stuff hang around a long time.
Yes,
you forgive and you get on down the road. Don't let it just hang around. He said, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And he said in the 27th verse, neither give place to the devil. Well, being the first one to forgive, being the first one to initiate a reconciliation, being the first one to change the course of a conversation that is going wrong, being the first person to show Christ's love to the unlovable, the first one to show up for help. Did you ever hear, remember, I'm in another generation, there's a few of you remember Sister Ruth Murphy? She said, I tell you, I can just see her saying this, the early bird gets the work. The early bird gets the work is all we've heard. Well, the early bird gets the worm, yeah. And she said the early bird gets the work, and I believe her. But be the first to show up for help. I thank God. You know, it's not that I don't see first responders. I believe the Lord wants to help us to be better equipped and more first responders. I believe if He can get us challenged to the point we see things to do, there'll be more people step up to the plate. There'll be more people willing to do whatever it takes. I like what Peter said, Lord, not my feet, but just start washing me from my head, my hands, everything. Whatever it takes. I like that. I like that idea. I like that attitude. Whatever it takes. Remember, diligently is more earnestly than others. That is, it's very promptly and very diligently. Lord, would you please help us today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, today we're challenged with your word. We feel very deeply, Lord, that we need this in our hearts. We need to be stirred. We need to be reminded that these things are necessary in our life. It's necessary in the church of God. We pray that you would bless the young and old alike, Lord, today. Every one of us would be stirred to be a better first responder. Lord, if we've had hang-ups and difficulties in our life, help us not to push that off and blame other people. Help us, Lord, to take that responsibility and say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, bless your church today. Encourage each other. Lord, we're starting off the summer and this first camp meeting, and Lord, we pray that you would help us all to be diligent. Help us to be people that forgive and people that love and have the Spirit of God reigning in our life. Bless your dear people, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name, amen.